Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
I'll be reading two different scriptures. The first will be Matthew 23:23 through 24, and then Psalm 130. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Now Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. The word of God for the people of God.
I ate ice cream for breakfast this morning. Just thought you should know that. And just before worship, I was given a bag full of ketchup. So if you haven't caught up, there might be a packet of mustard in there too, but... Thank you for playing with me as we think about Christian stewardship and generosity. There were two churches in town that did a renovation of their children and preschool areas. The one church, a large church, considered a very prestigious church in town, sent out a notice to its membership that they were needing materials to put in this brand new space for their children and preschoolers. And so the members cleaned out their closets and brought blocks and crayons and puzzles that their kids had discarded. The toys were used, but they were gently loved. I mean, the puzzles were missing a piece or two, but who cares? The crayons may have been broken, but broken crayons still color. Some of the games didn't have the right pieces, but you know. Most everything that was donated was either discarded or sent to a mission organization across town. The other church, a smaller church, a church that always struggled to meet its budget and was always challenged by money issues, went to Walmart and Target and bought new stuff and brought gift cards in case the new stuff was not enough stuff. And they brought too much stuff, so much so that some of those new items and gift cards were passed along to that same mission organization across town. What was the difference in these two churches. I think it was joyful generosity. I think that one church said, well, we have to bring toys. We have to bring our offering on Ketchup Sunday. We have to do this and we have to do that. And they strain at gnats. The other church, we get to do this. We are blessed to do this. And so they went over and above because there was a camel trying to get his head under the tent. I'm from South Georgia. I know about gnats. As long as you got a good blower, you can take care of gnats. We know how to do that. We don't know how to deal with camels. Camels are hard-headed, nasty, biting and spitting animals. There's nothing romantic about a camel. I was hoping y'all were going to sing Alice the Camel at the children's sermon this morning. I've been around camels. I don't like camels. And Jesus says, you strain at the gnats, but you forget about the big things. You ignore the big things. Joyful generosity means we get to participate. We are blessed to participate. I'm so pleased there are no gnats in my world. But this camel is driving me crazy. Richard Rohr says these words, Jesus refused to live up to what was considered honorable and refused to shame what people considered shameful. This did not gain him many friends. Jesus was a reformer. He showed no interest in maintaining the status quo. And these offering plates that are here that we pass week after week after week, they are not so that we can maintain the status quo. It's so that we can bless this community. It's so that we can bless one another in this fellowship. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? Philanthropic giving to churches annually across the nation. Some $8 billion worth of philanthropic giving, depending on who you read and what statistic you claim, 3 to 5% per person is what that amounts to. Philanthropic giving across our nation, 3 to 5%. So when I preach to you about stewardship and generosity, I'm not talking about the tithe. I don't know many of us who give at a level of 10% or more. But 3 to 5%, I'm just asking you to do the math and see where you fit in there and then see how maybe you can participate with us. I'm just asking you for 1% more than you've done ever before. 1% for For most of us, that's one less trip to Starbucks each week. I don't go to Starbucks, so I have to sacrifice a six-pack of Diet Coke. And it is a sacrifice. But it's not a sacrifice so much that my world falls apart for those six Diet Cokes. And your world won't fall apart for one less frosty, mocha, non-fat, whatever they have at Starbucks. I don't even know the menu. That's how many times I've been there. Maybe one less plate of arroz con pollo would be better in my part. Here's the good news. Here's the good news. You don't have to give a dime, and you will still be blessed to be a part of this community. You don't have to give a dime. You don't have to give a penny. You will still be blessed to be a part of this community. Because I don't know what you give, but I know you give. I know some of you give, and some of us who have more pick up the slack for those of us who don't. That's what makes us the body of Christ. So you don't have to give a dime, and you will still be blessed, and you will still be loved, and you will still be a beloved member of this church. That's the good news. The bad news is I'm going to continue to challenge you to give 1% more until I'm done, which may be today. I'm okay with that. I'm challenging you to prayerfully consider how you can participate in the ongoing ministries of our church. For instance, if you have a will, I hope you have a will, is the church a part of your will? When you pass, whatever's in your estate, are you remembering the church in that? When someone passes that we care about, rather than buying a flower arrangement that's going to go away in a week, would you consider a gift to the church in the honor and memory of that person? It's very simple. You buy flowers when people die. A lot of us do. But what if you gave a little bit of that to the church in honor of whomever that person was? It's just simple things. Just simple things. Any of you have extra money? Anybody have extra money? No? No one? Well, whenever I get extra money, the first part of that extra money goes into plate. I don't even think about it. It goes there. It's part of my worship experience, and that's where it goes. So if you give me $1,000 today on the way out the door, I'll bring $100 back up here to the offering plate. God loves a cheerful giver. I want to be in that camp. But guess what? God loves uncheerful givers too. We quote that first part, oh, God loveth a cheerful giver, I'm going to give. I've got gnats around me. But God loves the camels. God loves the camels too. I don't know what it is about money that makes us clench. I don't know what it is about money and church that makes us go, oh, again. Because God has blessed us with the money.
God has blessed us with systems that give us money. It's not our money. So what do you do with what you've been blessed with? 3 to 5%, up to 10%, or 12 if you want, goes back to help the rest of us. So here's what I want to say to you today. Please don't give out of guilt. If when you hear me speak these sermons about money and you feel a little guilty, please don't give out of guilt. Don't give to the church instead of taking care of yourself and your family. God first, family second, church third. That's how the order is in the Bible. It's always been there for us to look at. Don't give because of guilt. Don't give because you've got to take care of your family or yourself. And don't give because you think it's expected. Instead, give because you're blessed. Give because you're blessed. And the question always comes, my friend Dennis Tate in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, always said, "Well, preacher, how much am I supposed to give?" And I said, "Well, Tate, that's up to you." He said, "Well, preacher, do I give on my pre-tax money? Do I give on my after-tax money? Do I give on what my wife gives me after I bring my check home? How much money am I supposed to give?" And I said to him, and I'll say to you, the tithe is based on the harvest. So whatever you harvest, that's what you give your tenth on. That's what you give your offering on. Very simple. God gets God's, Caesar gets Caesar's. Sometimes I don't like what Caesar uses my money on. Sometimes I don't like what the church uses my money on either. But we continue to give because we are blessed. Anyone not blessed? Extra money? Anybody found any extra money while I've been there? I was hoping some of y'all would be running the numbers right quick. David Destino, a writer on things about money and finances, says these words: "Generosity is a combination of gratitude and compassion." Let me say that to you again. Generosity is a combination of gratitude and compassion that lets us value the present and the future, making us more courageous and open to God's call. We give because we're blessed, and we give because we love. So I'm challenging you today to be joyfully generous. I'm challenging you today to be a generous church that has a celebratory outlook instead of pinching pennies. You are not a church bound up in fear. You are a church that is exploding with faith. And as you get ready for your next pastor, your generosity will be examined. So I'm challenging you today to joyfully generosity. You are a generous church. You've proved that over and over. Some of you gave ahead of Catch Up Sunday last week. Thank you for that. Some of you are giving today for Catch Up Sunday. Thank you for that. Some of you will miss Catch Up Sunday and you want to do Mayonnaise Sunday next week. Bring your mayonnaise. It was a cold Wednesday night. We gathered around the tables and had fellowship, and we were cleaning up the fellowship hall, and this young man came to the back door of the church. He was in a t-shirt and shorts, cold and rainy outside. And he said, "Is the pastor here?" And I was the pastor of the moment. He said, "My mother has died in Florida. My car has broken down. I just walked a mile up the highway and found your church. Is there any way you could help me?" I said, "Well, let's get the details about your mom and let me check that out, and let's get you a meal and let's try to find you a jacket." And so we brought him in and warmed him up and gave him a meal. And I went and called where his mother supposedly was being held, and she was, and all his story checked out. And so I said, "Hold on a second." And I called up Brother Tom. Brother Tom was the chair of our finance department. I said, "Brother Tom, I got a guy here who needs to get to Florida. I'm wondering if I could use some money to buy a bus ticket, get him on a bus to his mom's funeral." "Well, Brother Bo, you know, we don't do that around here." I said, "Yes, sir, I know, but this is a thing we should tend to." "Well, I tell you what, I'll get the committee together." Lord have mercy. "I'll get the committee together and we'll talk about it." I said, "Brother Tom, I need that right now." I said, "I'm going to buy it out of my pocket, whether the church buys it or not." He said, "Yeah, I think we could do that." So we put this young man in the back of my car, and Ed Graham, who was one of our deacons, and I took him to the bus station. We had found a parka of some sort to wrap around him, at least keep him warm on the bus. And as he was going up to get on the bus, Ed noticed the young man was in flip-flops. And so Ed said, hey, buddy, just a minute. These ain't much, but you're probably going to need these." And he got on the bus and he went to Florida. This is the kind of joyous generosity that I'm laying before you today. This is the kind of offering that I'm asking you to think about today. God of heaven and God of earth, God of our checkbook, God of our finances, you are our God of everything. Forgive us, God, when we've strained at the gnats and ignored the camels. Thank you, God, for the blessings through Jesus the Christ. Amen.